supporting and coming tonight. The campers, I know how you feel because we were all in the camp, you know, and I'm hoping you got some rest today. But I want to thank you, all of you, for coming tonight. It's a privilege, but in the same time, it's a responsibility to come and open God's Word, because we don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. And as the more we expose to God's Word, it's a moment to really check at myself a little bit more, and before telling that to sharing that to others. So we're going to be reading. So tonight we're going to be reading. We're going to be reading the story of King Josiah. It's two chapters. So I know Josiah, my son, should be here. And it's not about you. But this king has left a mark in the history. And that mark has been left because he was having a heart to pursue God. He was pursuing God. And so as we are going to be reading, we're going to see how King Josiah was pursuing God. And so we're going to go to 2 Kings. We're going to have a reading in there. We're going to go in chapter 20. And we're going to give a little background before we to have an idea where we are. So it's 2,600 so years ago from today in the history. And so we have many kings after King David. We have many kings going as king of Israel or king of Judah. And before going to King Josiah, we see some kings going in there and coming and going. And we have some prophet as Isaiah or other prophet that has been advising these kings and speaking. God has been using them. But in chapter 20, 2 Kings chapter 20, we're going to read three verses, the first three verses. And we're going to see King Hezekiah. We're going to see King Manasseh very quick, King Amon, and then we're going to come to King Josiah. So we're going to see what was going on in that time. So in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So we're going to see, Hezekiah was one of the kings that was following God, and he has a heart, as the verse 3 was saying, he was following with a loyal heart God. But then after that comes another king, Manasseh. God gave to Hezekiah 15 years more life, and he was serving to God. After that, we see King Manasseh. So chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Manasseh, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He reigned for 55 years. And as a king being for 55 years, we will know that he really made a big impact in the country and to the people. And by the choices and where his heart was, really was impacting. And so we can see some, verse 3, he rebuilt the higher places which Hezekiah's father had destroyed, and raised up altars for Baal, and made wooden image. So he started bringing up idols. And verse 5, he built altars also for the host of heavens in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Verse 6, also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. In verse 7, he even sets a carved image in the Asherah that he made in the house of which the Lord has said to David and Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I'll put my name forever. And then he continues more the evil that he was doing against the Lord and the people. What they will do, they will see it. And what they will do, they will follow it. And so they will continue practicing what he was setting up. And it did not please God. And we know how God, throughout the history, he had been saying how he would not be pleased with when other idols would be placed in front. We can see also in 2 Chronicles that in a certain moment, King Manasseh, he humbled himself, he repented before the Lord. But at the moment, even though he repented, the sin and the evil that was placed in the country, the people start owning that was their lifestyle, doing evil. And that evil continued. And so when his son came, that is the next king, and we can go in verse 19 of chapter 21, is Amon. Has 22 years old, and when he became a king, and he reigned for 2 years in Jerusalem. And his mother was Meshulameth, the daughter of Haraz of Yodbah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. And so he walked in the same path as his father, and he was only for 2 years. We are going to see why he was for 2 years, because it happened that the people conspired against him and they killed him. So we see how all this sin has come to this point. And sin and evil, idolatry was at that time. Sin and evil and idolatry is today. If at that time was wooden carven images, witchcraft, today we can call them idolatry of social media, idolatry of cell phone. As I'm saying that, I am guilty of that. There is a tremendous amount of idolatry exposed to us that without thinking, and in our lifestyle of business, we are so much sink into that it's becoming a lifestyle. And there we go now. We come to Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became a king. All right. Who's 8 years old in here? All right. Timmy, Loveday, and Zoe, I'm sorry. Mr. Manley blanks out sometimes. And now think about, you are going to have a crown, and you are going to sit in a big, all right, there's a chair in here. Oh, you're going to sit in this chair, and you know this chair is going to look like this, because, and your feet are not going to touch the ground. But guess what? At age of 8 years old, he was in that position, in that responsibility for the whole people. Now, I'm sure there were other people that were advising or helping him or training him. But at 8 years old, think about that, being a king. But that, Josiah was a king at 8 years old. But when we read in there, chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother was named Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah and Bozkath, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. All right. So Josiah, he was 8 years old, and then he was for 31 years as a king, and then he says, he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the right hand or to the left hand. Now, okay, what that means? All right, he always walks only straight. For you kids, what that mean? Is that what it's meaning? No. It means he was pursuing, he was doing what God asked him, and he did it exactly. He did not start wondering, maybe I'll change my mind and I'll do this. well, maybe let's twist this. No, he was doing, he was going straight. He was doing what God wanted him to do. So we're going to see that when Josiah was 26 years old, we're going to see this story, this fragment that Josiah realized something. We're going to read some verses from verse 3 to 6, and we're going to see that a person that pursues God has a heart that is seeking God. And so now it came to pass in the 18 years of King Josiah, he is 26 now, that the king sent Shaphan the scribe, and he's kind of as an official, as a someone that keeps notes, and he delegated him, that the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Elkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing work, to repair the damages of the house. All right, so too many words, but what King Josiah is saying to his secretary, all right, go to the high priest in there and collect all the money that people have bringing for the house of the Lord, and go send to repair the damages that are made in the house of the Lord. And now we are like, okay, well, what does it mean he's seeking God by doing that action? Well, that action means a lot, because even though he's not realizing much, he knows that there are some money in there that he can use it for other things. But he knows that God needs to be honored. Something needs to be fixed, and he still is doing it to the knowledge that he has. He was 8 years old when he was a king. His grandpa was not the greatest king. He wasn't given a great example like a lot of you children and are in here. Your grandparents or your mom and dad has been teaching you about God, right? About Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins. He was 8 years old, and he had a grandpa that was evil for 55 years, and he had the dad that was for 2 years alive, that reigned as a king, that wasn't teaching him about God. But he knew that there is a house of the Lord that has some damages and needs to be repaired. Let's take those money. Let's start doing something. That shows that his heart and his decisions were guiding to do something good for the Lord. Then, here starts the story. Here starts the story. Then, as they are going, these people that are working, has been found the book of the law. The book of the law has been found, and it's like a scroll, a round scroll, and they open it up. So the high priest gets it and gives it back to the secretary, the scribe, and then the scribe goes to the king, and he says, like, king, we found the book of the law. And so we go here to verse 9. So Shaphan, the scribe, went to the king, bringing the king the word, saying, your servant have gathered the money that was found in the house and delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Elkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So, okay, what is the book of the law? So let's stop in there. What is the book of the law? At that time, they did not have the whole Bible. They did not have the New Testament, and they did not have all the books. But they possibly had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And to the researches I've done, is I'm thinking more will be the Deuteronomy. Why? Because as Moses is going, a book that is very, there are similarities with the Exodus, but we're going to see that there is a transition from Moses to Joshua, to the next leader. So it's from one generation to the next generation. And guess what happened? What was taught in the Exodus is being repeated in Deuteronomy for the new generation. And what is there? Can any of you, of the kids, tell me what is in Exodus 20 that maybe is repeating to Deuteronomy? Come on, you can help me. All right, let me tell you one word and it's going to come in your mind. 10 commandments. Can you tell me the first or the second? Yes. You shall have no other gods. That's right. Love the Lord your God. And then is do not steal. And there is so many other laws, right? And in the commandments. But I'm thinking, if we go together to, and please, I know that time can fly very fast, so I'll try to cut it down. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 6 and 9. So it starts, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation for those who hate me. And so maybe King Josiah heard that we are supposed to not worship other idols. You shall not carve other idols. Or maybe is another verse, Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. We are there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And those words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Maybe that is part of it. Or verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and shall be as frontless between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Maybe the God's word needs to be in our hands and we need to meditate on it. We should love God and his word. And there's another one, verse 12. Let's be aware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, but you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. You shall take also in his name. You shall not go after other gods. So we see the scripture that is talking again and again to love God and not to love other idols. So maybe that's what the high priest read to King Josiah. But verse 11, now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law, then he tore his clothes. So he got his nice clothes and he tore them. Now, the Bible speaks about tearing of the clothes from other characters in the Bible, and we saw Jacob, and there are other ones, Jacob and his son, older son too. And so what they did is that it was a sign of mourning, that I'm mourning. Jacob heard about his son that was being killed, and he ripped his clothes, and those clothes were expensive for them. And then they were dressed with a sackcloth, and they were stayed for 3 days. That was a sign of deepest sorrow in their heart for what was happening. For King Josiah, he was understanding two things. One, the sin that the people have committed towards God, and also a sign of the holiness of God. Understanding that, whoa, what we have done against God as a sin, but also God is a holy God, that he cannot stand other idols. And so this, it made him so sorrowful. So he had a heart, a tender heart to God's word. So then the story continues. The story can go a little longer, and I'm going to try to get to the next point. But what a king wants to inquire of the Lord. He wants to ask for the forgiveness of the people, and then there's a prophetess that she gives a message back from God, and that's verse 18. And she's saying, but as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, In this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they will become a desolate and of a curse, and you tore your clothes and you wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. So King Josiah, he humbled himself before the Lord. And the way he did it, when he tore even also his clothes, is also another sign of saying, I don't belong also to be a king. I don't even deserve to be a king. And he was in front of other people when he did that. And he was recognizing the sin, and he was recognizing the Lord. Then we're going to see what King Josiah is doing. A heart that pursues God is tender, is humble, is recognizing the sin, and is ready for something else. Is ready to make things right according to God's word. Oh, man, for me, it's, we are doing the huddles recently, and God is just talking. God is just talking to us through his word. He's awakening us that, you know, we are so busy in our lives. We are so sink into that quiet time has been one of those things that I don't have time for the Lord. Making that time for relationship with the Lord. Why God told to Israel, love me, don't love other idols, because he wants to have relationship with his people. God wants to have relationship with me today. The same God that was 2,600 years ago is the same God that is today. And he did amazing things, even more, for us to realize that he gave his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. He did more today that I realized Jesus did so much for me. And Jesus is my Savior. I can say that. But when I realize, is Jesus my Lord? When I'm so busy that I'm not taking time to spend that relationship with him. And with the discipleship was another verse that really was a mark. And that is dying to myself. Start dying to myself. And King Josiah was showing a sign to die to himself. He humbled himself. And then it's about carrying the cross daily. And then that's what we do here. Josiah, verse chapter 23. Now the king sent to them, to the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, to him. And he started saying to all the men of Judah, come, let's all get together. Verse 2. The priests and the prophet and all the people, both small and great, and listen what King Josiah is doing. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which has been found in the house of the Lord. King Josiah, king himself, he stood up now and he starts sharing with all the people the book of the law. And he says the covenant which has been found in the house of the Lord. And then the king stood by the pillar of the covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandment and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his souls to perform the words of this covenant that was written in the book. And we see that King Josiah is pursuing God not only with his heart, but with his soul and with his being. And he wasn't just an intellectual thing. But it starts to transform into something that is something real in his life. It wasn't something, oh, I know what God is asking me, but yeah, it's just an information, and I know. But he starts taking a step. He starts doing it. And he starts cleaning the house. So the way he starts cleaning the house, he did it a thorough clean of the house. Sometimes I remember sweeping. I can go and sweep to the areas that is kind of a pathway, like right here. We can go with a vacuum and, you know, clean the areas. And, it looks good, right, for the first appearance. But King Josiah did not do that. He did a thorough cleaning. He got the vacuum pretty much under the pew. Maybe he moved the pew, right? He moved the things because we can read in here. So let's find the verse how he did that. Okay, verse 6. And he brought out of the wooden image from the house of the Lord, so he took them out, to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem. He burned it into the brook Kidron and ground it into the ashes. All right? So he did the right thing, right? He took them out of the house of the Lord, all these idols, the wooden carved, but he brought them out even out of the city. He burned them to the ashes. He wants to clean them. So we should say, he's done, right? Can we say that? It's a good thing. But he's not done. And then he threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. Whoa, why he had to do this extra step? Why he had to move the pews out to vacuum? He really removed the ashes out of the way to do a thorough cleaning. So he's pursuing God by doing a good cleanup, to doing things right. He did not went to the left or to the right. He just did it the right way. And we have other Bible verses for us today, right? And one of them that really has marked in has been a mark in my life is Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for the man. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. A heart that pursues God's, worship God. We're going to see that by doing not only cleaning the house of the Lord, but verse 21. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover to the Lord your God as it is written in this book of the covenant. Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in the days of the king of Israel or the king of Judah. So the last time that we can see recorded in God's word, it was in time of Joshua that was celebrated the Passover. And it's happened a long time. I mean, just from the time of King Josiah, King David was almost 12 kings that have gone around. So think how much more time that the Passover was not mentioned, that we can see recorded that it was celebrated. But King Josiah really made sure that not only him, but the house of the Lord is prepared to remember what God has done. A Passover is when God took Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. For us, remember Lord Jesus this morning. And some of us, we did it in the camp. And we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. And we didn't have to remember him by doing actions of, doing a lot of actions to look good on people's eyes. We just have to come with our hearts. Just say thank you. We just come with a simplicity of heart. And our God is not seeking for crazy things for us to do. He just wants simple things. Our heart. Where is our heart set? And for Josiah was a mark that is written in the God's word. And so we see Josiah, a king that is pursuing God with his heart, with a humble heart, with a heart that wants to make things right, with cleaning the house. And many times I have to think myself and I have to revisit myself for the things that are not clean. One of the things that I realize is without thinking, I was in Facebook and was sinking my time of 2 hours or 1 hour and a half. And very easily I could have used that time more precious for something else. And there is so much in my heart life that I can clean. And I'm doing that for the Lord, a sacrifice for the Lord. And God is going to reward us. And so we have, God is providing everything for us. We have His Word. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have brothers and sisters that are ready to support us, encourage us. We have our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And He's not only our Savior. That is the impact of it. Is Jesus is not only our Savior, but He's our Lord, carrying the cross daily. What is next for us? In the huddle books that we are doing the book, one of the questions, or maybe with the boys, one of the questions is, why in our nation, here in the States, the God's word is not as, doesn't look as impactful to the people? What's going on? And maybe an answer can be, we are got so much into our business that we forgot God. That He's somewhere in the temple, is buried on other things that, you know, maybe in the attic or somewhere in there. And for us as a nation, I'm bringing it even more bigger, is realizing that Jesus is not only our Savior, that we hide behind that I'm a Christian, but He's my Lord. It's about being a disciple, following Him daily. And through these huddle groups really was a good, and I'm talking as and to other men that are in here, was a good reminder about following Christ daily. And so, aren't we blessed that we have God's word in our hands? Aren't we blessed that we have the Holy Spirit within us? Aren't we blessed that God has placed each of you in each other's lives and we can encourage and empower one another? And so all we can do today is let's pursue God with our hearts and let God work within us for His glory. So if we can close in a word of prayer, and I don't know if Dan, you have a song. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercy that You show to us every day. God, You see our hearts. You see my heart. And God, when there is sin, please, You clean, because only You can do that. And it's only through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank You for the example of King Josiah, that he pursued, he followed You with his heart and with his decisions. Help us today to honor You with our lives and give glory to Your name. Thank You, and we just continue worshiping for who You are and what You continue to do in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name.